the agenda in front of us. And then we don't have a long agenda today. We've got only 6 items. And then I think we all have the copy of the agenda in front of us. So item number 1 is actually opening and welcome. So let me take this opportunity, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, to actually welcome you to this meeting of the political funding bill, where we have an opportunity as the committee to deliberate on the submissions that we received. And then all of you, as I welcome you, honorable members, the meeting is also officially opened. And then the next item in our agenda is the apologies. I'm not sure whether we have received any apology. Over to you, Esther.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we did receive one apology from Ms. Mutara, who's out of the country on SADC business.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's the only apology that we received. Any other apology? I don't think we've got any other apology. So we note the apology of Honorable Mutara, and we move to the next item, which is deliberations on the political party funding bill. But before we deal with the deliberations, honorable members, I think I need to indicate to the committee. There are 2 letters that we have received. But before maybe we deal with the 2 letters, let me put it like this. There's a judgment of the Constitutional High Court, which was actually delivered last week. We had the public hearings on Wednesday. So the judgment was then delivered on Thursday. And I'm sure all of us, honorable members, we are quite aware of the judgment. But safe to say, the judgment does actually not deter the committee to proceed with its mandate moving forward. So maybe if there's any other clarity regarding the judgment, or if there's a committee member or a stakeholder that feels they are not sure about the judgment, we've got the legal team that is with us here from Parliament, which are actually ready to explain to us the implications of the judgment which was delivered by the Constitutional Court last week, Thursday. But also in relation to the judgment, we received a letter from 2 organizations regarding the judgment itself, which was sent to the committee. We have received from a letter from My Vote Counts, and then the second letter we received is from SANEF and Amabungani. So those are the 2 letters that we have received, honorable members. So I thought I must put it to the committee. I will get an indication because I don't want to impose to you as to what needs to happen. I just want to allow honorable members also a fair chance to get an opportunity to express an opinion or a view in relation to that as to what needs to happen moving forward. Do we get the legal briefing, clarity, and then we move forward? Or we are all on the same path? Can we safely say, no, it's fine. I've noted Honorable Tamin. Over to you, Honorable Tamin.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, colleagues. I think, personally, I do want to get from the legal team the implications of the judgment. For the fact that over and above the outcome of the case, these 2 organizations decided to write to us. One would want to get from the legal team, as you know that we are not legal practitioners, to be assured that what we are doing is really in line. There are no implications to what we are doing here. I don't want to get a legal opinion on it.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Any other hand or contribution? Dr. Munakin?
I agree that we need an input from legal gurus here present.
Okay.
But indeed, fortunately, the 2 letters are very straightforward. There's no crisis. But let's get an endorsement from legal guru on the interpretation of what they have actually submitted.
Absolutely. I think we're in agreement, honorable members. We just need to make sure that we don't do wrong things as a committee. Before we proceed, let's get a clearer understanding of the legal implications of the court judgment and the processes itself. But I also agree with Mr. Temunake, the two letters, I also perused them. They are not actually saying to the committee you can't proceed or there will be any implication. But for the benefit of all of us as members of the committee, let's allow the legal team to take us through as to what are the implications for us as a committee. Over to you, Mr. Prince.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, members, colleagues. Chair, we prepared a briefing note on the my vote count matters. So I'm not going to go into too much detail into what the briefing notes said. I'm going to jump into straight into the part where the court speaks about that judgment versus the bill and whether the judgment at the time would have undermined the legislative process that was on, that was going on in Parliament. And so the court said very clearly that the two processes were quite distinct. The judgment, the matter before the court at the time was a matter that dealt with access to information. And it was founded in the access to information provision in the Constitution, which I think is Section 32. The bill is a matter that deals with regulation of political party funding. So the court held in that matter that the ongoing lawmaking process may comfortably run parallel to the judgment without the one being undermined by the other in any way. And that Parliament enjoys independence in its lawmaking process or obligation in relation to the regulation of private funding. So that is a very strong statement of the court has made to say that we are on safe footing when it comes to the bill in as far as we're regulating private funding. The court further held it was not for the court to prescribe to Parliament whether the recordal preservation and disclosure of all information relating to private funding should be regulated in terms of PIA or PIA and another act or PIA and other measures. Remember, the issue before the court they felt was whether the right to vote includes the compulsory keeping of records by political parties or independent candidates, whether the right to vote includes reasonable access to information on private funding, and whether the current regulatory framework, namely PIA, enables a voter real access to that information. In as far as those matters, the courts held that the state is required to pass legislation that provides for the recordal preservation and reasonable access of information on private funding, and that PIA is unconstitutional in as far as it does not apply to all political parties, it does not apply to independent candidates, and it fails to impose an obligation to record information on private funding of political parties and independent candidates. It does not, and it also doesn't provide for reasonable access to that information. So what does our bill do? Or what does our bill not cater for? Our bill does not cater for access to information of the financial statements of political parties, which is something that the court said should be provided for. It also doesn't cater for access to information regarding the funding of independent candidates. But it's our submission that these are issues that relate to access to information. These are not issues that pertain to the regulation of funding of political parties. And the court said clearly that it's for Parliament to regulate how these matters must be addressed. And in this bill, we sought to regulate the funding of political parties. And in relation to that, we provide for provisions that deal with disclosure, not as a consequence of access to information, but as it relates to the funding of political parties.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Prince. Honorable members, that's the briefing in relation to the implications of the court judgment on our process as the committee. So I think it's quite clear. The briefing does not say we'll be contravening the court judgment or we'll be doing something wrong as a committee. I think it's quite clear we agree on that one. So I think we can now move. We'll be dealing with item 3 on the agenda and 4 at the same time. Because we now had the opportunity to deal with the deliberations. We're now going to deal with the report itself. So I think all of us, we have received a copy of the a report on the political funding bill. So it's I think it's about it's an 8-page report. About 10-page report. We all have the copy in front of us, honourable members. The report was also circulated, I think, this morning to honourable members. So I take it that honourable members had an opportunity also to just to scan through the report briefly as to what is happening. But if we did not have an opportunity to scan through the report, it's not a problem. We can still go through the report as a committee, all of us together. So allow me now to go straight to zoom into the report. Because if we had an opportunity, all of us, to go through the report, it was going to be easy then. We were not going to go like for paragraph to paragraph on the report itself. But because there are members that feel no, we did not have an opportunity. So therefore it means we must now go through the details of each paragraph on the draft report itself. But I see Honorable Munakedi wants to come with a proposal. Maybe it's going to assist us to find middle ground. Over to you, Tate Munakedi.
Yeah, the middle ground that I want to propose, Chair, is that we indeed look at the report very slowly, but our focus be on the recommendations. The focus be on what we need to agree upon. You know?
Okay.
The rest of the report, obviously in the main, is the recordings of what transpired. You know.
Yes.
In our interaction with various stakeholders.
Absolutely.
So when we say we agree with the report, in the main it will be in terms of the recommendations. So my proposal is that we go there. Thanks.
Okay. No, thanks. I think Honourable Munakedi's proposal is quite assisting, honourable members. So let's give over to Ntate Tau to take us through the report, not like word by word, just a summary, because I think we can all remember or recall what happened during the public hearings. And then we'll zoom into detail when we deal with the recommendations of the report. That's where we'll actually say we agree with the recommendations or we don't agree. We want the recommendations to be structured in this form. So I think it's very clear, honourable members. So we'll give to Honourable Tau, Advocate Tau, to take us through in terms of the report. Over to you, Ntate Tau.
Sorry, Chair, to take a bit back.
Okay.
I just want to check the recommendations. Are they part of the package that you're having yet?
Are they part of
the package?
It's maybe the findings, I think it's from paragraph 0.5.
All right.
It's on page 5 of the report, if I'm not mistaken. Already. No, it's on page 8. On page 8.
All right.
It's observations and findings in the report. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay, and then item 6 in the report, the committee will then decide what I want to go through with the recommendations to endorse the report and all of that. So we first deal with the summary of the report itself, what transpired, and go in detail to the recommendations, the findings and observations that we have made. Are we in agreement, honourable members, with that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Honourable, and the director, over to that.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members and colleagues. Page 1. It's the title of the report, right in bold letters, and then the introduction gives a brief background on the establishment of the committee. Item number 2, the process followed, starting from the time the committee calls for public submissions, and the committee also called stakeholders like National Treasury and IEC for briefings. Then number three, it is a time when the committee went through clause by clause just to for members to familiarize themselves with the content of the bill. Item four, it is submission by the stakeholders. 4.1 is Mr. Powell. The paragraph under 4.1 captures the issues Mr. Powell raised. 4.2 is a submission by Mr. F. Stradom. It's just a sentence about his submissions. 4.3 is submission by Mr. Kava. Also a paragraph summarizes the issues raised by Mr. Kava. 4.4 is Free Market Foundation. The paragraph summarizes the issues raised by Free Market Foundation, in particular with regard to clause 9 of the bill. 4.5, it is submissions by Council for the Advancement of the South African Constitution. The paragraph summarizes the inputs and issues raised by the organization. 4.6, it is the submission by the Auditor General of South Africa. The paragraph summarizes the issues raised by the AG with regard to clause 12.5. 4.7, it is the submission by COSATU. The paragraph summarizes the issues raised by COSATU. 4.8 is my vote count, and all the issues raised by my vote count are captured on the whole of page 5 in a bullet form. 4.9, it is the submission by SANEF and Amabungani. The rest of page 6 captures the issues raised by SANEF and Amabungani. 4.10 is right to know. It also have a paragraph in a bullet form capturing the issues raised by right to know. 4.11 is Corruption Watch. 4.12, it is the submission by EFF. Two paragraphs captures the issues raised by EFF with regard to formula and also the issue of members of political party receiving donations. Observations, with your permission, Chairperson, I will read it so that the members can follow, because that is where members will have to express themselves as to whether it captures the deliberations and the views expressed by them during the engagement. The committee noted and deliberated on all the issues raised in the submission and during the briefings and public hearings, including the following. 5.1, there is a general acceptance of the intention of the bill to regulate direct private donations to political parties. 5.2, there is a general acceptance of the intention of the bill to prohibit donations from foreign governments and foreign persons, except in respect of donations for the purpose of training, skills, or policy development from state-owned enterprises, organs of state, and proceeds of crime. 5.3, the bill intends to place a cap on how much any person or entity can donate in a year. Further, the bill prohibits donations made to a member of a party, except if the donation is for political party purposes and accepted on behalf of the party. 5.4, the bill requires the disclosure of all donations above a prescribed threshold to the IEC by the political party and the donor. The committee further noted the concerns raised with regard to the following clauses that were perceived not to be in line with the Constitution. 5.6, the Auditor General of South Africa submitted that clause 12.5 was in conflict with Section 188 of the Constitution because it is not clear whether the funding of political parties from represented political parties fund is for a public purpose. The view of the committee is that Section 188 subsection 1 gives the Auditor General the power to audit and report on the account and financial statements of any other institution or accounting entity required by national legislation to be audited by the Auditor General. Section 188 subsection 2 states, in addition, subject to any legislation, the Auditor General of South Africa may conduct an audit of any institution that is authorized in terms of any law to receive money for public purpose. The bill also makes discretionary for the Auditor General to conduct an audit in terms of clause 12 sub clause 5. Both the preamble and clause 7 of the bill make it quite clear that the funds from the represented political party fund is to be used for a public purpose. In any event, a political party falls within the ambit of Section 188 subsection 1C of the Constitution. Parliament is mandated in terms of Section 236 of the Constitution to regulate the funding of represented political parties and have done so in terms of this bill, which includes making political parties account to Parliament through the IEC. Further, Clause 12, Subsection 5, make it discretionary for the AG to conduct such audit. 5.6, CASAC, MyVote, Corruption Watch, and the EFF submitted that the appropriate formula for the distribution of funds under the Multi-Party Democracy Fund was 50% on the basis of proportionality and 50% on the basis of equity, because the new formula may not pass constitutional muster. The view of the committee is that the formula is the product of extensive multi-party negotiation and was agreed to by all parties other than one party in the National Assembly. Furthermore, the committee was of the view that the new formula is in line with Section 236 of the Constitution. This section provides that to enhance multi-party democracy, national legislation must provide for the funding of political parties participating in national and provincial legislatures on an equitable and proportional basis. 5.7, CASAC and the EFF submitted that the wording of Clause 10 could result in the limitation and possible violation of the constitutional right to freedom of association. The EFF indicating that it would deter people from becoming members of political parties and politically engaged citizens. The view of the committee is that Clause 10 is clear. Members of political parties may only receive donations if it is for party political purposes, and may only do so on behalf of a political party. Further, there is no possibility that a court would interpret the provision as preventing donations of a bona fide financial assistance to a person who happens to be a member of a political party. Again, when interpreting any legislation, the court are expected to prepare any reasonable interpretation of the legislation that is consistent with the Constitution over any interpretation that is inconsistent with the Constitution. The same approach is also expressed in Section 233 of the Constitution and stipulates, open quote, when interpreting any legislation, every court must prefer any reasonable interpretation of legislation that is consistent with international law over any alternative interpretation that is inconsistent with international law. Close quote. 5.8. Despite some of the concerns raised, the committee noted that there was a high expectation that the bill be finalized by Parliament and enacted into law before the next general election. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for that briefing on the report. I think, honourable members, now before we deal with the inputs on the findings and observations, I think there's a correction that we need to make, just a small and a correction in terms of the constitutional provision. I think I must give over to Esther or to Prof. Chigel. Over to you, Prof.
It just concerns the provision in 5.7, which deals with the constitutionality of Clause 10.1 that the EFF and CASAC raised. at the very bottom, the reference is made to Section 233 of the Constitution, which is dealing with international law, which is quite correct. But I think to strengthen the provision, it would be better to look at Section 39.2 A of the Constitution. What that section does is command that any court, when interpreting any legislation, must promote the spirit, purport, and objects of the Bill of Rights. In other words, in interpreting Section 10.1 in the way that the EFF suggested or the way that CASAC suggested, would lead to it not being read in the spirit of and purport and the objects of the Bill of Rights. So the amendment that I think that we would like to suggest is that we strengthen that paragraph 5.7, because to the extent that this ever goes to the Constitutional Court, I think it's appropriate that we identify the particular provision that that answers the EFF's concern, which was a very literal interpretation of Section 10.1, and that 10.1 must be interpreted purposively, that the Supreme Court of Appeal has held. Secondly, there is a concept of the constitutional presumption, that you presume a provision to be constitutional rather than unconstitutional if it's a purely interpretive issue. And then finally, you've got Section 39.2A that really puts it beyond doubt that no constitutional challenge based on 10.1 would survive. So the wording that I would suggest is that, as we say, the same approach is also expressed, and instead of in Section 233 to read in Section 39.2 of the Constitution, which reads, inverted commas, when interpreting any legislation, ... every court must promote the spirit, purport, and object of the Bill of Rights. And that would be the end of the quote.
Thank you very much for that addition. I think it makes a lot of sense. So are we in agreement, honorable members, that we need to include it under 5.7, paragraph 5.7, in our observations also and findings, section 39, subsection 2 of the Constitution. Are we in agreement? Section 39, subsection 2 of the Constitution. Honorable Chabangu, over to you.
Yeah, through you. I accept that it must be
Can you just try to pull the mic to you, Honourable Member?
Yes, I do concur that it may be changed. But we are not going to accept anything except what has been presented by our experts. And it must be noted with concern that whatever we are saying, we must refer back to our lawyers to say, is it correct or not? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chabangu. I think that's a clear party position from Honorable Chabangu. And I mean, we can't hold it against you. You are merely communicating to us your party position, which for me, it makes a lot of sense. Because the EFF also had an opportunity to come and make the presentation. So this way, their position. So, Honorable Chabangu, when you say we'll have to go back again to your lawyers and then stick to the proposal that was made during the oral submissions, during the public hearings, we don't have a problem with that. And I think we note it, and then we can move forward as a committee. So, Honorable Members, can we now have an opportunity to deliberate on the observations? Are we in agreement on the observations? Is there any other issue that we feel needs to be captured in the observations? Because we don't want a situation where the report is being presented and we differ with the report. We are seeing it for the first time. So if there's any other issue, let's put the proposals forward and then let's capture all the proposals that are made and then make the report more comprehensive. And then if also we feel that the report is fine, it captures most of the issues. I mean, let's feel free to do so, Honorable Member. Honorable Munakedi, Honorable Nita, Honorable Labaskagne. Okay. Now I'll reserve your right to deliberate, Honorable Labaskagne, for now. Honorable Munakedi, Honorable Nita, that order.
Now, Chair, thank you very much, and also welcome the presentation of the report as made earlier on by Advocate Bell. And acknowledge and welcome the correction that the legal team has just effected to the report. And thirdly, indicate that the report itself is quite comprehensive. It's actually not a summary, it's comprehensive in terms of the work we did, the inputs by the stakeholders we interacted with, their own proposals, our response as a committee to what they actually raised. And when one look at the observations, findings, some of which we may even turn them into, whatever recommendations for the purpose of our meeting, it's clear that, the report is fairly straightforward. And I want to propose that we accept this report with the slight amendment that has just been made, so that we are able to then proceed forward. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Honorable Munakedi. Honorable Nita.
Thanks, Chair. Let me as well agree with the proposal that was sponsored by the legal team to cater for the issue of the rights of individuals so that we are in line with the Constitution. I've looked at this, at the Section 39. Chair, what I wanted also to raise in the presentation of the stakeholders, there was an issue on the issue of threshold, which came in a number of presenters. Although I did consult again in terms of the Constitution and pick up that, it would be unconstitutional if we take their proposal as it's not specific the Constitution in terms of the amount of the threshold. So we are still correct. I do not know whether it's a matter that should reflect in our report and later on we clarify it. I don't want to have a situation where some of the things that they were raised, especially if there are a number of organizations that harp on that matter, although it's unconstitutional. Thanks.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Any other issue, honorable members, before we give to the legal team to respond, so that they respond at once and then we move forward. Any other issue, honorable members? Whether it's burning or it's cold, let's handle it. Yes.
The view is that the report, perhaps in what Honorable Mutha was referring to, having read through the report, the matter of the threshold has been, is there, it's reflected on the report, that the committee unanimously agreed on the threshold that is determined in terms of the bill. There is a response to that, and the issue is quite sharply indicated for it. There was this issue that was raised by one of the stakeholders, and the committee has come to a particular determination, which you agree with. I said the proposal.
Okay. Honorable Gamini.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just maybe a clarity before I say something. As we are inputting on the report, we're also deliberating. Once we adopt the report, we're done.
Yes, I think that's what I indicated. Well, let's deal with item number 3 and 4 at once.
Oh.
We deliberate, input on the report, and agree on it. Once and for all.
Okay, no, thanks, Chair. One of the issues that... let me start off by saying it was very much interesting to see that there are so many organizations that are interested in what we do as parliament or as government. It really encourages us to say, don't take people for granted, that you'll do things as you wish and they will keep quiet. They will raise issues where they feel that we're not doing things accordingly. But also what was clear for me was that there were those organizations for me whom they were very clear constituency-based on whom they represent. I can mention a number of them where you can know whose interests are they carrying. But there were those that you were not sure. You will only hear from the content, the presentation, that, okay, it looks like they're representing this group of people. That was very interesting for me, Chair, to note that. But having said that, there is one matter which I think, as part of the concerns that were raised, is not coming out of the report. Most of them, they spoke about why 100,000. Why 100,000? Some went to an extent of proposing 10,000. Because they were asking a question. People, we can always cheat. We can get many people keeping 100,000 until it becomes a huge amount of money. How do you control that? If we could be, assisted, how do we get it to the 100,000? Most of them spoke about that. Whether they were agreeing on different things, but when it comes to the 100,000, the question was what informed the 100,000? Why don't you want to disclose the 100,000 if we could be assisted on the other one? But otherwise, I'm fine with the report. It covers almost all the things that were debated in the meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Labuschagne.
Thanks, Chair. This is not I'm sure it's not a big issue. I just want to, if I go to this responses to the submission, that is also part of the report, but I can't find the paragraph now.
Clause 9, the Rule of Law Project, the Free Market Foundation, referred to the obligation of a political party and a donor to disclose donations above a prescribed threshold will mean that a donor may be victimized, and then the comment of the legal team and so on. But I would like to know, and I understand the response, but what I would like to know is there is no evidence that this will happen in this country. Okay? We don't know if it will happen. We assume that it won't happen. But in the case that it might happen, under which law can the victim or the donor that's then been victimized can sort of be protected? I understand that it should not be in this bill, most probably, although we go into regulations if, say, for instance, the bill is being implemented and we start finding that things like that happen, the regulations on that, or just a clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Skaghi. Honourable members, I think let's proceed in this fashion. Let's give to the legal team to clarify the issue of 100,000 disclosure, the minimum, and the 15 million maximum, so that we are again on par on it. And then I think that's one issue that came from Honorable Dlamini, and then Honorable, and then also about the rights of the donors. What is going to happen to them? Are they protected? Are their rights being protected and all of that? So that we're all clear before we move to the other processes. Over to you, Mr. Prince.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. The question around the threshold was actually two questions relating to it. The one was the, in a nutshell, whether the threshold is constitutionally permissible. The Constitutional Court in paragraph 75 of its judgment in the My Vote Count matter in fact expresses itself on the issue of a threshold. And the court says that the threshold is constitutionally permissible. The court, in fact, also relies on international jurisprudence to say that it's permissible to set a threshold for disclosure, so that not every tedious document or donation is, or not the document, or donation is disclosed. And then the court says it leaves that to Parliament to decide what that level should be. So that brings us to the question of the monetary amount of 100,000 rand. That matter was extensively discussed in the National Assembly. The issue around 100,000 rand was decided upon because that is what the committee in the National Assembly felt was an amount taken into account the size of every political party represented, that an amount above which the donor could be influencing a political party, and they take that at 100,000 rand. That is how they got to that amount. In addition to that, the parties also felt it would be an administrative burden for them to be disclosing donations below that. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much.
There's a third issue that Professor Cheadle is going to deal with.
The issue is around the possible victimization of a donor. And I think the only victimization of the donor would be really in the exercise of power by the political party. And the most obvious place of that would be the tendering process. And provision is made in the Ministry of Law to challenge any tender in which a particular donor tenderer has been victimised, and obviously, if you've given money to the DA in an ANC held municipal council, and the DA and this particular donor has isn't is a a proper tenderer and meets the requirements of the tender but doesn't get it, then she would have the right to challenge that in the High Court on the basis of administrative bias or any other administrative irregularity. So certainly insofar as the exercise, the direct exercise of power, there are sufficient remedies for a donor that is victimized.
Well, thank you very much for that clarity. Honourable members, can we now move forward? I think thanks for the clarity which is provided by the legal team. We are now on par in terms of what is happening about this 100,000 minimum disclosure for each political party that is going to be disclosed to the IEC. We are now much clearer on it, and then we know why the proposal of 100,000 came into effect, or why it was brought forward from the ad hoc committee in the NA to us in the NCOP. So we are much clearer on that. So can we now move forward? I would request honourable members for the purpose of records, so that I know Honourable Monakeri did it earlier on, where he was actually moving for the adoption of the report with the minor amendments. So just for the purpose of the record, I will give Honourable Monakeri again, so that we get the mover and a seconder, then we move to... But the conclusion of the report, Honourable Members, before we deal with that, I'm sorry to take you a little bit backwards. And then having considered the political party funding bill, B33/2017, and submissions made by stakeholders, the committee recommends the adoption of the political party funding bill 33/2007 without proposed amendments. The report to be considered. So I put it to you, honourable members, and then we move forward. Thanks. Over to you, Ntate Monakeri.
Thank you very much. Yes, Chair. I want to once again and formally propose that we adopt the report, which also includes us agreeing to the adoption of a recommendation of the bill to the NCOP without any amendments. That is as is. I think the rest you have captured it. So I'm formally moving for the adoption of the report, which includes the fact that we are to the bill. Thanks.
Thank you. Can we get a second?
No. Chairperson. I never heard Ntate Monakeri clear.
Can I just request, before we come to an issue, can we first deal with the proposal Honorable Monakeri raised a mover for the adoption of the report. We get the seconder, and then once we have dealt with that, then we can entertain the issue which Honorable Chabangu wants to raise. Honorable Dlamini.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think we've given ourselves enough time to go through the bill, and also we did not only just seek submission, we gave time to the organization to do presentations. Based on that, and also we were clarified about the constitutional issues, concerns that were raised on the other day, which was also my concern. With that, I will support the mover for the adoption of the bill.
Thank you very much. So the report is actually duly adopted by the committee as a report which will be sent to the ATC and to be presented in the House. Before we move to the next item, can we give to Honorable Chabangu? I hope you are not going to take us backward, Honorable Chabangu.
I was just merely saying I heard that the Munakeri say the report be accepted without any amendment. If I had in case.
No, I think
the amendment was with reference to the bill.
Yes. Now, Honorable Munakeri is referring we must adopt the bill without amendments, the bill, not the report. I think that's the target, Honorable Munakeri. He made reference to the bill. No, thank you very much for that. Honourable members, we now move to the next item, which is item 5 on our agenda, which is consideration of the draft minutes I think we've got about 4 sets of minutes that we need to consider. May I bring your attention to the minutes of the 24th of May 2018. 24th of May. Yeah, the first one. First set of minutes. 24th of May 2018. The venue of the meeting was held in B226. Yeah, we've got 4, but we are first dealing with the 24th of May. Yeah. The first. Do we have the copy in front of us, all of us, honorable members? 24th of May 2018. Yes. Yes. Can we first deal with the minutes? Do we first have a copy? Yeah, 24th. And then we deal with the corrections, matters arising and all of that. I think an issue which Honorable Mutashupi has raised is actually corrections of the minutes.
Yeah.
Is it, am I fine, Honorable Mutashupi? Yes. Yes. I don't get your issue clearly, Honorable Mutashupi. What are you saying?
Chair, please lead us. Where are we?
Honorable members.
Which page?
Honorable members, do we all have the copy of the minutes of the 24th of May 2018? Let's start it there. Now, let me bring your attention to the first page of the minutes. Any other issue on the first page? Honorable Chabangu.
Chair. On page 1,
yes,
it indicated that I was absent. But by then, I don't think I was a member of this committee. I was still with the other committee. But I think the secretary will look at it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think, can we just note it? Or do you think we need to respond on it? Okay. 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 I've noted you, Honorable Kamini.
The same thing with me on page 1 is reported as absent. Chair, I got an invitation when I was in another meeting chairing a committee. I did not see the invitation. I saw it after the meeting where I was chairing. So, Chair, I can't be recorded as absent if I did not get an invitation in advance. I only got an invitation after the meeting.
Okay. There are 2 issues raised by members, Honorable Kamini, Honorable Chabangu. I think it's the same issue. Honorable Munake.
No, this one, I mean, obviously, yes, they were absent, but there is an explanation.
Okay.
This explanation must be recorded.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Honorable Mita.
Chair, it's a similar case. Because I reported to you, Chair, that I am rushing to another meeting with apology. Yes, I was absent, I agree. With a formal apology,
okay,
to the Chair.
Yeah. So can we now give over to Esther? Or maybe perhaps what we need to do, because these are same issues. Let's just correct it and move on. We note the proposal. Honorable Lamin was not in the meeting. She was absent, but she submitted an apology. Honorable Mita. And then Honorable Chabangu and Honorable Dlamini, they were not in the meeting because they received the invite. Honorable Dlamini received the invitation late after the meeting. And then Honorable Chabangu was actually not a member of the committee at the time when we had the first meeting.
Took a very long time.
Okay.
Not
no, that's fine. I think let's note it, Honorable Members. We'll note it, and then it also be captured in the minutes. So we now move to page 2 of those minutes, which deals with the introduction, the consideration of the draft committee program, the briefing by a technical team. Any corrections on that page? No correction? Move. the next page, which is page 3, which deals with the consideration of draft minutes, the closing remarks by the chairperson, and then adjournment of the meeting. So that's the conclusion of the minutes of that meeting. Can we get a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of the meeting? And it must be from a member who was in that meeting.
Later on, someone must move.
Honorable Munakedi is actually passing the bag to other member. Can we get the mover and seconder?
I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Munakedi. Any seconder, honorable members? Any seconder of the... Yeah, of the 24th of May, 2018. Honorable Mukashupi, Honorable Abuskakni. Okay, Honorable Abuskakni has actually seconded. Thank you, Honorable Members. We are done with the first set. We are now moving to the minutes of the 7th of June, 2018. 7th of June. We all have the copy in front of us, honorable members. If we all do have a copy in front of us, let me draw your attention to page 1 of the minutes of that meeting. Any corrections on the minutes? Nothing? Okay. We move to the next page, which deals with the introduction, the presentation by National Treasury and the IEC. Page 2, any matter on page 2 of the minutes? I think we'll move to page 3 of the minutes, which deals is actually a reflection of all the presentations that were done by IEC and National Treasury on that day. And then the last page, page 4, which deals with the closing remark by the chairperson and an adjournment of the meeting. Anything on page 4? If there's none, can we get the move ahead? Second, for the adoption of the minutes is a true reflection of the meeting. Can Honorable Dlamini?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Can we get the second?
I second the proposals.
Thank you very much, Honorable Munakedi. The minutes have been duly adopted as a true reflection of the meeting. Honorable members, we now move to the third set of minutes, which is the meeting of the 14th of June. Are you fine, Honorable Neta? Okay. We now move to the next set of minutes, the meeting of the 14th of June, 2018. 14th of June. Are we all there, honorable members?
Yes.
Okay, let's deal with the first page of those minutes. Anything on page 1? Anything on page 1, honorable Mutashubi? Okay. Oh, thanks. We note that. Okay, we take note of that fact. We now move to page 2 of those minutes, honorable members, which dealt with the introduction, the presentation by the parliamentary legal advisor on political funding. Anything on page 2? There's none. If there's none, I move to page 3. Which dealt with the consideration of written responses from National Treasury and the IEC. Also dealt on page 3, consideration of written submissions on political party funding bill. Anything on page 3? Nothing. We move to page 4 of those minutes, closing remarks by the chairperson and adjournment of the meeting. Anything on page 4? If there's none, can we get a mover and seconder? Can we get the mover and seconder? It's only Honorable Mutashupin from the members that are here in the meeting that was absent. So,
Chair, I'm moving.
Honorable Mwita is moving. Thank you, Honorable Mwita. And seconder? Honorable Dlamini seconding. The minutes are adopted. And then we move to the last set of minutes, the meeting of the 20th of June 2018. I think this is the meeting of last week, if I'm correct. Yeah. And then most of the members were there. We only received, yeah, all members were there. So on this one, we don't have a problem. Yeah. Honorable Shabangu?
But before the chairperson, I've got a call aside. According to my observation, member of IFP, Mr. Kaula, has never been in this meeting. So what is it that we do? Because at the end of the day, the party would indicate that it was never represented. Or is it not our obligation to advise him to come to the meeting?
Okay, Honorable Chabangu. Honorable,
well, the question is, was he invited to these meetings?
Yes. No, Honorable Kaula was always invited, including Honorable Kaila. All political parties were invited to the meeting. But you know the problem about Honorable Kaula, and it's a problem for them to be in all meetings. There's also ADO Committee on Northwest is there. There's other meetings of committees as well and all of that. And then sometimes he's supposed to debate also in the House. So I think that could be the reason why he was actually not coming or having ample time to come to the meeting.
Before we proceed, I would like to align myself with the latter speaker that they must always be invited, even if they are unable to come, because so that it cannot be the problem of this committee. It must be their own problem.
No, thank you very much. We take note of the legal advice in that Chabangu. Honorable members, now, Honorable Chabangu, Honorable Munakiri.
No. The clarity is those members, these members were indeed invited to these meetings.
Yes.
But because of the fact that they are alone, in the NCOP, it becomes difficult for them to attend all these meetings. And the second thing, I want to second the proposal for the adoption of this minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. The minutes, there's a proposal to second? No, thank you very much. Honorable members, thank you very much for coming through. Thank you very much for the cooperation. Honorable members,
is this our last meeting?
Honorable members, the last thing before we move, the report is going to be ATC. We are submitting it for ATC. And then we want to table the report on the plenary on Thursday. So we need to agree as a committee, because Thursday is the last day we are rising as the SOP. And the plenary starts at 10. Most members will be rushing and chasing flights. So there's normally two options. Either we do statements or we do a debate. But a debate will not be, feasible for us to do on Thursday, because we are actually considering the appropriation bill. So what we can actually maybe propose to the committee is that political parties can do statements. A statement is 3 minutes. If, for an example, a political party needs to do after the report is presented, or we can do a declaration, something like that. But we are, of course, not going to do a debate on the report. I think we are in agreement on that one, Honorable Members. So that brings us before to...
But is this the last meeting?
Yeah, this is the last meeting.
Are you going to thank us?
I'm taking you. That's what I'm doing. Honorable Members, on behalf of the committee, as a chairperson of the ad hoc committee, let me thank all the honorable members for the contribution, positive contributions, throughout the work of the ad hoc committee. I would also like to thank members of the public, members of the different NGOs who actually made positive proposals and submissions, presentations to enrich our discussions and debates in the committee. Let me also thank the parliamentary support staff, our committee secretary, and also the advocate, Tau, Mr. Prince as well, and then my learned friend there at the back. I just forgot the name. What is the name again? Buisel. How can I forget your name? Mm-hmm. For also the type of work and contributions that we actually put together in the ad hoc committee to make our work quite easier and be possible for us to be able to deliver on our mandate. Let me also thank the Prof. Prof. Chidl. You participated. This bill is like it's like a baby to you. You participated in the process of the NA. You also were available when we approached you to come and actually participate. You never said no, you are busy or you are committed elsewhere. You were always available and we appreciate your contribution. My vote count, I know you have been very hectic. I know this bill, you've got so much interest on it. You have been very busy and then you have made your contributions, your proposal. We took note of them, but we appreciate the support. And then as the ad hoc committee, honorable members, different political parties, we participated. It was nice to be in a collective or in a committee with you. It was really such a nice thing. We normally differ in the house and then we put our different party proposals forward. But in the ad hoc, we never had any problems. We started on a good note and we are finishing on a good note. So let me thank you very much for such contributions. Yeah, and this ad hoc committee is a very important point to make. For the first time, Honorable Dlamini and Honorable Labaskasi, they are friends, they are finding each other. So it's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. Yeah. So thank you very much, Honorable Members. That brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much. Thanks.
What must I have
here? Give you energy to gain home. Otherwise you might not even get home. Your constituents will come looking for you fast asleep. They're trying to catch up in your sleep. Maybe when you get home, you feel better.
It's a long time.
So it's a habit now.
No.
Absent and present. Even school girls don't do that.
Bye. Let me have one or two. I hope I'm allowed to. What in the money from that meeting? No. You are colleagues.
I never did it.